Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so, as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course. And we can't wait to see you there.
Well, we are back and we are here to talk about the key value area, current value. What do you make of it?
Indeed, indeed. So the interesting thing about current value, it is really about looking at the present, right? It is really understanding what kind of value do we deliver as an organization to our customers, to our stakeholders, and potentially even ourselves right now. So I think this is the part where this is a deceptively hard key value area to look at, because most of the time as an organization, when you look at value, it's very aspirational, right? It's about what do we want to deliver? What do we want our profit to look like? What do we want our market share to look like? But that's not what this is about. This is about looking at what's happening right now. And that allows you to make decisions in the here and now, right? We're not talking about hopes. We're not talking about fears. We're literally looking at the scale and seeing, well, how much muscle have I gained today?
Yeah. You know what this always makes me think of, current value? It always makes me think of, we have all these ideas, right? We have all these ideas on the side of things that we think could bring value, right? And so we take an idea or two and we put them out there and we have to validate whether they actually were valuable, because it's interesting. Well, not every idea turns into value.
That's the thing, right? And quite often when people have to make economical decisions, which is really what running a business tends to come down to a lot of the time, is we fall into this trap, right? The sunk cost fallacy, where we base a decision on what we hope will happen in the future instead of what we know is the fact today.
Yeah. That happens in so many organizations, right? And I mean, how many times have you worked on something? I mean, I've worked on things for 2 years and nobody could even remember why we were doing it. It's just, we had money to spend. So let's continue to spend the money building things and being really busy building things. And you start to ask these questions, you start to ask, well, is what we're doing valuable? Is what we have done in the past valuable, right? Because ultimately, when we're looking at current value, it's a sign of things that we've delivered in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, the results of this can be quite stark. Like I recently evaluated a major change program that was, I think, 6 months in a process redesign. Very expensive, like not just in terms of hours spent on it, but also outside investments done. And we actually found out, hey, we're $1 million in the red right now. Even if we were to go live with this tomorrow, it would take us 5 years to make back that $1 million based on what the results of this program were going to be, except we can't go live tomorrow. Right. So our current value right now is negative $1 million. And it's actually going to continue going down. And yet the idea of, hey, but once we have this thing, we can start cashing in over the next 10 years, right? But that's not the reality, right? You have no guarantee that you're going to make that money back. So this is, like I said, this is really where this is very hard to use, because mm-hmm. we don't like looking at the here and now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It can be hard to look at.
So let's take a look, maybe how we actually use this in practice in our own businesses.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to move over to this board. And you know, Will, just to emphasize some things that we were speaking of, this is a view of the present, right?
Yeah.
Present.
How happy are our customers today? How happy are our employees today? How happy are our investors today?
I'm going to put how happy are our customers today, but we can also say, I'll put a investors, employees. And there's a lot of signs of things that we can measure here. You know, and I'm just going to put up another point that this really is, well, let's use a validation of what we have delivered.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is validating what we have delivered. And, you know, I just thought it would be good to capture these points while we had everybody here. And, you know, we've been using the example of our own businesses, which I think is where you were segueing this conversation into. So I suppose for you, Will, in your own business, how are you using current value?
So one of the things that I did when I started my own business is I took a really long and hard look on how do I want to get my customers. Right. And what I didn't want to do was marketing. I don't want to do cold calling. I don't want to just send messages out into the world and hope I get a response. So I made the decision very early on, I want to be the kind of consultant that is referred to by other consultants, right? I want to come in warm and I want to come in recommended. Mm-hmm. So what I'm measuring in terms of current value, as one of the things to see if that strategy is working, is how often do I actually get approached in a week by people via email or via LinkedIn that start with, hey, I was recommended by this and this person to talk to you.
So I'm going to put up here, Will, referrals. Like, so something that you're measuring current values is by referrals. Wow, that's a really great way of looking at it. That would tell you that based on reputation, based off of previous work that you have done, that people have had a positive experience and therefore are getting in contact with you because of that.
Absolutely. Both from a customer point of view, but also the kind of outreach that you and I both do in our own professional communities, yeah. Right? It's one thing to be recommended by a customer. It's even in a way more flattering even when a professional says, okay, I'm going to call in the kind of person that I go to for advice. Mm. Right. And that to me is kind of a sign of, you know, you've delivered that level of expertise, that level of value.
Yeah. I like it. Well, I suppose I could share then what we do a little bit with this, with current value at Agile for Humans.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, from our perspective, I'll talk about a little bit less from a direct business perspective and more from a delivery perspective, because obviously you do it the same way. We do consulting. We do a lot of training being one element of our business. And one of the things that we measure in our training is a really quick flash in the pan net promoter score.
Yeah.
So at the end of every class, we have students rank the class from a scale of 1 to 10. Now we use anonymous mode, right? And then we take that ranking and we store the data, right? And so what we do and we look at over time is we trend really customer satisfaction in the moment on our classes. And that leads us to make changes in the class, changes in the way that we deliver. We get some good comments in there. We look for themes in those comments and adapt the delivery of our courses based off of that, so that we're constantly trying to increase that. So for us, let's say AFS, not Agile for Humans, we could say customer sat after course. Right. And so that's just one way one thing that we measure. And that's really specific to, I suppose you could say, one product offering of the company, but a very important one to us. So
that's and you're touching on an important point there in using EBM is that, you know, you can use it globally, right, to look at the entire portfolio of what you're offering and kind of generically what's been the satisfaction there, how happy are the users and customers and employees. But for zooming in, it might be the case that for specific products that you have, right, for me, it's my consulting business. For you, it's the training business, that we have specific measures that tell us something about the performance there that is more actionable than the stuff at the generic level. I mean, obviously, we both look at what do our costs look like, and what does our income look like, and what do our profits look like. But that's not as actionable for improvements as what is the customer satisfaction for any course that we teach, or perhaps even for specific courses that we teach, or the kind of consultancy that we offer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, to further build on the point that you have, so this is here's interesting yet super frustrating thing about this, Will. Let's suppose for us at Agile Humans, we see a theme in feedback. We see a dip in score, and we decide to change our training strategy or the delivery of our materials in a particular way that we think is going to increase the score. Notice I said, we think. Mm-hmm. The frustrating thing is, just because we're seeing a theme and collecting data on customers, and maybe we see a dip in NPS across the product owner course or something like that, and we make a change that fulfills that customer desire that we've seen in a theme, that does not mean that our customer satisfaction is going to go up. It really doesn't. So you can have these hypotheses on the back, which we hinted about this earlier, right? And you can deliberately put them into your product and not be able to find causality in it increasing the measure that you want. That's the frustrating thing about complex work, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're touching on something that we want to explore later in this course, but I think is a particular thing where you and I are very much aligned, is indeed this idea of causality. Establishing causality in a complex environment really is folly,
yeah,
right? This idea of leading and lagging metrics is one that you need to let go.
It does.
Want to be successful in a complex environment, which is why we look at these things daily, right? Frequently as we can, and we try to avoid going into assumptions and wishful thinking, right? Which is why we started this class with the tremendous caveat as we're looking at things right now. We're not looking at these things aspirationally, because at that point they start getting in our way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I made the mistake of trying to find that causality, and it partly drove me crazy. Right. And it was a giant waste of time.
It's expensive. So, yeah.
Well, I think that is a wrap for this one. I think that when we come back, we will be talking about the next KVA. We look forward to doing that. Hopefully you stick with us for the next episode.
Yeah, see you.
Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!